All right, time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation. So, modern mystic. Okay, so somebody from the past hasn't made any videos in quite a while. Months, close, something like that anyway. Many months. It's back to making videos. He's very cynical, I guess, about having anything called a conversation with other humans. Prefers to talk to AIs now and argue with them, I guess. I don't know whether he argues or not. But anyway, he says some things that are just so crazy. So, you know, it's this nihilism again coming up. I don't think he calls it that, but basically he's just one of these universing people, and he doesn't think there's any difference in the universing this way versus the universing that way, you know, turning left or going right, making more suffering, who cares, I guess. He doesn't think it makes any difference how many people are born and are killed. You know, he say, I guess the more the merrier or something. I don't know what he would say. So I guess can't really get him to answer simple questions. Do we think it would be a tragedy if we put human beings on Mars, for example, and had billions of people on Mars for some dopey reason? What do you think all of that is? Just the universing? Anyway, so he doesn't seem to recognize the existence of torture, and it's all very... it's just irritating because I, you know, for me personally, this was a big disappointment to the modern mystic. He seemed one of the few people on Earth that could do logical reasoning, and he seemed also to have acquired a rather extensive volume of, you know, from knowledge base wise, well-read, as they say. And it just seemed incredible that he could talk this nonsense, like just baby gibberish. So anyway, in this middle video, he basically says, find a religion and believe in it, but you have to really believe in it. So somehow, if you're a smart person and you know 2 + 2 = 4, he's basically saying, no, believe that it equals 3. Okay, believe that there's a God and there's a spirit world and that you're going to be saved and that your torture won't be useless and wasted. You know, it's just goddamn sickening drivel to suggest to an intelligent human beings they should believe in a fairy tale, they should believe in SpongeBob. It's gross. Even if. You know, the fact is that, okay, that made your existence here on Earth more sufferable, okay, less insufferable, less frightening, less horrifying. Just the very idea of selling out intelligence to personal advantage is just so goddamn evilly stupid, and the very thing that sinks the Titanic, you know. I mean, it's the very thing that causes the disaster, is this idea that, you know, you can win as an individual, that, you know, bugs. Anyway, bug planet, you know, it just is. And so that's, you know, part of it. It's just, you know, there's nothing complicated about defining our circumstance. And, so the other part of that is, okay, so he basically says you should believe in a God or get trapped in some family crap, like even have a family, so you're so lost in that bullshit drama that you don't have time to think about dying and getting cancer and horrible circumstances and your doomed fate and the fact that you're going to be killed and how are you going to be killed and all of these little things that'll, you know, make you sad and depress you and cause you some sort of inability to function. Now, none of that really happens, right? I mean, you still are able to function. So it's, but yes, it is a lingering nastiness to recognize that, you know, everything that you are is just going to be destroyed. It's going to be a beautiful Ming vase. It's going to fall off the shelf, break on the floor, and that's it. It's just going to be a destroyed piece of art, so to speak. And there is no God that's going to re-glue it together again in a heaven somewhere and reuse it. And it's not going to happen on Earth. So anyway, so apparently for himself, he's clinging to some Buddhism thing, but he's his own version of it. So he thinks he has what Buddha really meant, and all the other Buddhists are doing it wrong, okay? And so they're all using some sort of jargon. And, you know, like, suffering sucks, but suffering doesn't mean suffering like toothache. No, suffering is your unsatisfied desires or your fear of death. That's suffering somehow. So, you know, these are huge. You know, you can't even use the word, like, suffering, you know, in some kind of generic way, because you have to make this distinction between. And so it's sort of like the word life, as I've explained or stated. It's just kind of stupid that we don't have better vocabulary. We call a paramecium a living thing, and then we call a human being a living thing. And we're basically made of parameciums. You know, we're made of little single cells. And it's what the little single cells are doing, transmitting electricity and other things, that creates our mobility and our function. And it doesn't have a damn thing to do with the actual little individual slaves. They don't do anything that makes the event happen. It's like the propeller is a slave to the airplane flying. But the propeller in empty space isn't doing anything that's called flying. All right, anyway. So, yeah, it's just a bug planet, and, you know, we're just bugs that sing and dance, and singing and dancing doesn't have much value, okay, and we do this thing, we pretend to be thinking, so even the word thinking, and understanding, these are words he won't use in any rational context, and, you know, these are just acquisitions of computer data, and it's just an absolute fact that we acquire data and that we process it into conclusions through logic. And the fact is, you call that understanding. That's different than, you know, just believing or faith or some other stuff. I mean, these are differences. I just never heard such bullshit. And, you know, for him, to be arguing in defense of the worst blight to human intelligence ever known. And this is an intelligent man. And here he is basically just saying, fuck any of that. Fuck any acquisition of knowledge. Fuck any effort to accurately describe our circumstance. Be an ignorant, dumb fuck. Be a monkey. And it's just so... Fuck you. Why didn't you do that? Why don't you do that now and just shut the fuck up? Okay, and just chatter, okay, somewhere. And not be bothered speaking words and using language. Oh, I just, you know. Anyway, it's just so depressing. I mean, oh. You know, when intelligence can be perverted, you know, in such... You know, it's just, ew. Oh, sorry, I just got to keep making disgusting sounds because it's revolting. It is nauseating, and it causes a physiological reaction when you watch people doing something just absolutely ignorant and cruel and stupid. And just marvel at it. So anyway, I took some notes, so I guess I should get to those. And... this really isn't this complicated, right? We're just sitting here making descriptions of our reality. So me and the mystic agree on all of the physics, sort of. I mean, he might go for some of this quantum crap and wooey whatever's singularities and particles in the same place at the same time and entanglements and whatever, blah, 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 blah. And he might think that has something to do with your brain function, but I don't even think he believes that. I think he knows that it's pretty much garbage in, garbage out, and there is no magical garbage anywhere. So, Yeah, so it's just making a description. So his description is that somehow there's nothing to play for. The very fact that you know, I think you do know, that you could put your hand in a candle flame and melt the flesh. You could actually burn your flesh right off and have no more hand, have your hand amputated. And that would certainly be an unpleasant event. It would be unpleasant to experience the actual process. It'd be emotionally unpleasant not to have a hand anymore. You'd have to worry about all the things you can't do because you're missing your hand. Lots of very little likelihood that things will be better in the future if you have lost your hand. Okay, it's very likely, unlikely, that's going to be a net positive for you or anybody around you. Unless you were going to kill your wife, by strangling her, now you can't do it because you lost your hand. something. But anyway, that somehow there's no consequence here, that there's no difference between, doesn't matter how the universe universes. And as the universe universes, yes, we don't control it, it controls us. And part of the experience of it controlling us is the fact that we can see it happening as it's happening, and we can, like news reporters, we can show up at the scene and say, "Well, my brain did this. What did your brain do? What did his brain do? Did any of these brains do anything good, or is that why we're in shit now? Is that why the Titanic is sinking? Is because none of our brains did any of the right things?" So we're sitting here on it. We can see it happening and talk about it happening as it's happening. And that sort of evidence of what's happening is the fact that we're watching it happen and we can comment on it. And that'll be a very much a proof of what the cause was. So if somebody says, "Well, the cause is you're don't have the radar on." The cause is, some you're not listening to the radio guy who heard on, there's lots of icebergs in the water. That would be part of the script, is the actual event of people like me showing up saying, "Oh shit, don't have kids and you save everybody a lot of grief." Okay, the consciousness isn't tortured anymore. Now, the irony here is that he's a defender of some kind of this Buddhist bullshit, okay, which is bullshit, right? He's trying to turn it into a rational philosophy when it was always based on a fable of, Buddha talking to death and meeting all these great challenges in defeating death is logic and blah, 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 blah. And the whole thing is go jump in a fire and you escape having to keep coming back to be reincarnated into some slightly better version of yourself. And so why would you want that? Okay, nirvana. Why would you want escape if everything's the same? If it doesn't matter, if being a cow is the same as being a cockroach. So obviously, Buddha didn't think they were the same thing. Bullshit us some more about how Buddha didn't think there was any difference between the shittier universe and the less shitty universe. Yeah, bullshit, he didn't think there was any difference. Bullshit, he didn't think of behavior mattered. What you believed mattered. It was consequential. And again, it's not a single player game, so it's not about how it consequences you. It's about how you consequence the universe in terms of how you participate, what script you are reading. And should you read the asshole script? So he doesn't believe there are assholes. He called them dickheads. He doesn't think anybody's a dickhead. Okay, when clearly there are people who are functioning as very good computers and calculators, and people who are functioning very poorly and doing things that are very low probability of picking the right number at roulette, right? There's 36 numbers or whatever it is. They're picking 42, 97. I mean, they're picking fucking numbers that aren't even on the fucking wheel. That is a dickhead. No chance of winning, getting it right, doing the right thing. Okay, so yeah, there's no way you can really take all of this, as he states, out of some context where religion has fucked our brains. But religion was, in a sense, a way of coping with, okay, The fact that we can rationally understand right and wrong, and good and bad, and good and evil, even. And so that's the whole context of the Christian religion, the Garden of Eden, all of that. Well, the Judeo-Christian, I guess. I guess the Jews were also in the Garden of Eden anyway. or something, I don't know. And the danger, the liability of knowledge, and the fact that knowledge comes, brings with it a burden. And so even, so it's sort of like the Buddhism in the sense that it's implying that there's this burden that comes with knowing that you are mortal, that you're a bug, okay, and all you can do is sing and dance, and it's kind of disappointing. That's all I can do is win some dancing or singing contest. We don't have a better game to play than that. You know, there's nothing at the Olympics, you know, be a great human being event. No, that's no event. You know, you have to jump up and down, you know, or run fast, you know, or lift things. You don't get to do anything meaningful, you know, to win a gold medal. The contests all suck, you know, in terms of being a winner, okay, winning at nothing, at shit. All right, so a lot of this comes down to a big, big problem I have with the bullshit he's saying is that he's talking about the little bit of angsty shit you have, okay? I've talked about it, just getting old and seeing death creeping up on me. I mean, you can, you know, it's like you get a mosquito bite and then you feel like this, you know, for the rest of the day you're like, I feel like a mosquito is biting me. I feel like or an ant gets, you know, in your pant leg or something, and then you're itchy all day. So these are, trains of thought that can get you into big trouble. In terms of trying to enjoy your day or go about your business, if you're distracted by, realizing that you're doomed, that you are on the Titanic, that it is going to be ruined, that all kinds of harm and chaos is going to take place, that you're going to have to bandage other people's wounds and then you're going to be wounded. You know, you're going to have to listen to the ambulance, and then someday the ambulance will be tolling for you. You know, the machinery will be coming for you. And, that's all really unpleasant and burdensome to have to, live with that knowledge. And he's just saying, don't bother. You know, be a coward and a pussy and a retard somehow, and just pretend 2 + 2 = 13 or something. Just evade the truth and run away from it, and pretend you can do that and not do any harm to the rest of the world, that you'll somehow prepare the next generation to do the right thing by not telling them the truth that, oh yeah, don't make a human being, because even if they're lucky enough to be someday 64 years old, they'll be scared to death that they're not going to make it to 65. So you're not doing them any fucking favor. Basically, you're going to terrorize them. And then it's really going to happen where you're actually going to slowly kill them. So, you know, the other reveal in his video was I've always called him glib and monstrously insensitive and just horrible for lots of reasons. But, you know, his wife has been battling cancer for 10 years. I just don't understand how anybody can't understand that torture isn't a matter of subjective bibble. That doesn't go away because you believe in God. God's not going to save you from that pain. My sister was lost in religion, deeply lost in it. It didn't save her any grief. It didn't comfort her through anything. It's just a lie. So now but this gets to the argument of the distinction between these perceptual things, okay, the crap that your brain manufactures in different ways, thoughts versus physiological reactions. So much of what the mystic is saying is somehow meditate in his way, which isn't the usual way, but it's just some sort of thought process where you detach yourself from reality or something, I don't know, and that somehow you won't get seasick. Or if you have vertigo, for example, that somehow you could just meditate your way out of it. That you can change these physiological reactions that you've learned since you were a child, how to emotionally react to the world. You've been conditioned to do it. Bad events happen, they associate with other bad events, and you can become... I mean, Christmas lights make me nauseous. I mean, it's a funny thing to... Yeah. And obviously it must have something to do with some experience in the past where I got sick on Christmas or some other kind of thing, and then there's this negative association built into my brain. And, but it's like you getting, it's like some food. You get sick and you can't eat it for the rest of your life, your brain conditions. And, you're not going to meditate your way out of that conditioning. Now, reconditioning is a possibility, so I'm not denying the clockwork orange kind of fact that you can take your current condition and try to recondition you. But it's always work. I mean, you're really going to have to pay for the reconditioning. It means you're going to have to create new experiences that are just as, unpleasant perhaps as the original unpleasant experience, except in some opposite way. That's not going to be any fun. And it's pretty hard to do the reconditioning in all some sort of positive reinforcement way. I sort of been fighting with that one my whole life where, I have this anxiety disorder, and, I can have little victories. I could walk a mile away from home or something, and I could feel like, wow, it's the furthest I've ever been. And it could be sort of positive, but the next day it doesn't make it any easier to walk a mile, is the irony. It doesn't really fix it, okay? It's just not enough to undo whatever it is that's, controlling the physiological reaction to the realization of being in a circumstance. You could say, if you could reduce my sense data, okay, then put me in a one of those tanks, the water weightless water tanky kind of thing, then I suppose you could transport me anywhere and I wouldn't know it, and therefore I wouldn't have a physiological reaction. That's just denying the sense data, and then it's denying that my physical body is going to react in a certain way. So again, I just think it's pretty unrealistic to say, because I have this philosophy, this bullshit, I don't get seasick. I just don't think you can fix those physiological reactions, and most of our emotional reactions are physiological. They're conditioned responses of your adrenal glands and, different hormones in your body that are excreted or triggered based on, certain triggers inside your brain, and their muscle memory. And it's hard to get rid of it. Like once you know how to throw something a certain way, it's hard to throw it wrong, okay? Because you really have learned the reflexes. You've learned how to do it and make it work. And your brain does this memory thing, this conditioned practice makes perfect. And you have perfected your brain has perfected its emotional reactions, and it's you can't just have a thought that undoes all that. You really do have to recondition it. You have to re-practice throwing it in the wind. So let's say you learned how to throw something, darts, in no wind, and you were really great. And then somebody throws a wind in now, in a wind machine. Well, now you have to relearn that reflex, And obviously, I don't think that's terribly challenging, but it is something you have to do, right? Like you could be a tennis player and you could have some sort of injury and then you learn how to do it some new way to compensate for the injury. But it does take practicing. So I could use the example of, I had a stroke 20 years ago and, wiped out that side. And, some stuff took a long time. Writing took a long time, more than a year to get back something, or even come close to something. And other stuff, mechanically, your body compensates. So I could walk, I mean, I could limp, let's just say. And so I limped around for 6 months. But it was quite tedious to try to get that dexterity back. You had to do that stupid ball squishing thing, and it was so obnoxiously unpleasant to relearn, to force neurons to say, okay, move this, okay, move the, And it was obnoxious. It was unpleasant, tedious work to regain that function. And so you're not, it's, you don't just philosophically say, I'm going to believe in God and everything will be okay. I mean, especially when the belief is nonsense, especially when it's completely toxic to every bit of logic you know about how reality works, that these fables don't exist. Superman is not going to come to the rescue. Your soul is not going to go to some place where it's going to be applauded and preserved and gilded and, but they're going to clean the shelf that your little trophy is on. None of that's going to happen. You're just going to disappear into the lost existences that have, the billions of dead people, who had whole stories that are now books that have been burned. And they're not going to be rewritten in the original version. There'll be some little blue riding hoodie. Yeah, the little blue riding hoodie. It'll be some little different story. But it won't be the your story. So I haven't even touched my notes yet. Well, maybe we'll do that. But that's the general theme. I'm saying, look, it's so simple. It's a bug plant. We're bugs. We can sing and dance, and we can do this little thinking thing, which isn't much better than singing and dancing. But we really can't do anything, okay? And we're just biologically built by a DNA molecule to survive, to lay eggs, so we can just keep singing and dancing. All right. And yes, the singing and dancing thing, I'm just making kind of fun of our human activities. Really isn't that, really isn't that brilliant an activity. The fact that, oh, we could use a toilet to go poo, and we can do this. We could be a little bit more sophisticated than a bug. But it's really only a little bit more sophisticated, okay? I mean, we're still just trying to figure out, who what we can eat and, and fuck. And, there's not much else going on here. And all this pretense that there's some other story, no, there really isn't. So I mean, that's all it is. And the fact is we can do bug badly, or we can do bug very well. I mean, we can be very good bugs, or we can be very, very, very stupid bugs and keep perpetuating stupid actions and activities that just create more and more misery. So, clearly indicating my argument would be the simple solution is just quit making bugs human or more buggy. Okay, all of the bugs are bad. Don't make any of them because they all will do nothing but suffer for nothing, to gain nothing, to barely tread water in quicksand. And that will be their grand accomplishment. They're thrown in the quicksand, they treaded the quicksand for a while and survived, and then they drowned in it. That's all you're going to do. Make a human being, that's all you've sentenced them to do is to suffer. to drown in the quicksand, because there's nothing else here. There isn't anything else but quicksand. It's all there is. And you can do it a little bit better. Oh, my head's still way above the quicksand. You know, you can do it as some moron who thinks they're winning. Or you can do it as somebody who understands, boy, what a stupid situation to be thrust into. You know, and the simple truth is, there's no free exit. You know, either psychologically free or physically free. I mean, even now, you know, you want to put your animal to sleep, you still got to do that unpleasantness of causing, you know, a little bit of that. You know, they have to go through a few seconds of some sort of fit, you know, seizure, something that doesn't look quite right, you know. It's not as easy as we'd like it to be. And certainly it could be, and it would be so much better. But it's only going to get better when people let go of religion, let go of bullshit, and recognize that that's all we have to do here is to try to make this horror, this sinking, this last sinking, the last voyage of the Titanic, let's make it as graceful as possible and make sure they don't build any more. What's complicated about that? That's right, nothing. All right, didn't even pick up the notebook, but I actually picked it up now. Okay, but the first thing I want to say is, okay, this isn't about, I think, any rational way of making distinctions between physical, actual physical pain, that is, sticking your hand in a flame and the flesh burning and, you know, stuff you're not going to Buddha your way out of, and psychological stuff, where I'm scared or I'm worried, or I'm fretting, I'm dreading. Those kinds of unpleasant sensations related to loss and isolation and just very a kind of psychological dissidence, okay? A function where you are distracted, okay, by the hammering noise of some idea that just is very unpleasant to imagine a future that just is yuck. I don't want it to happen. I don't want time to continue to tick because I don't want to see the arrow you know, hit and go through my head, you know, whatever. All right, so so I would argue that the only thing in play, the only reason why philosophy matters, what people believe matters, what people say in videos matters, is because the sensations we feel matter. It matters whether we feel good or we feel bad. Feeling good is good. Feeling bad is bad, negative. One is profit. The other is understood as loss. It's a real difference, a cavern of difference. Between a nail in an eye and a cupcake. If you're going to make something in the universe, you don't make nail in the eye, you make a cupcake. Okay. So, you know, without that understanding, there's just no conversation. So this nihilism shit that we can't figure out that the thing of value in the universe is the feeling organism. And everything else only has emergent value. It only has value by consequence, by circumstance. So a cup of coffee only has value because it makes you function better, all of that kind of stuff. So morphine has value because it can mitigate pain, these kind of things. So everything else is valuable because it in some way affects sentient organisms by mitigating, preventing, reducing the harm that comes to the feeling organisms. So that's what we're playing for. And the fact is the universe, as it's universing, the fact is it can universe in ways that it creates more of that or less of that pain and suffering stuff, the waste of it. And the fact that the mystic can't make that simple concession to as just an absolute true context to our existence. It's, what a battery is doing versus what a human being is doing are not the same thing, a conscious human. And because we can sample what we're doing, we've sampled pain and suffering, and it's not something to make in the universe. It's something to avoid making. All right, so just bugs that can sing and dance or think that they're thinking, so we can play with words. We don't make the universe. The universe did make us. We don't think, okay, in the sense of make the new idea. The old ideas make the new idea through us. We're just vessels for adding 2 + 2 and getting 4. But we don't do any of it, in the sense that we don't create any part of it. It creates, we're witnesses to the event. We're witnessing our own brain's function. We're not controlling our brain's function. We're witnessing its function. We're witnessing what I am, who I am, what I'm doing. I'm just like you, watching me be me. I'm not making me be me. Anything I know about me isn't doing it, all right? There's no notion that I'm controlling what I'm doing. No, I don't have any idea of that happening. Something in there is doing it, not me. the me that's here, feeling and doing all this being alive stuff, I didn't do any of it. You think I just wrote the script that I just said? What did I have to do with it? Fuck you. Anyway, in a... I have to pause to see if I can figure out whether I can read my own sentence. All right, so we exist in a describable circumstance, is what I wrote. but whatever. The idea is there's a describable reality. And the argument is, again, is that any description has something to do with a spirit world or singularities or whatever. All that horse shit about your identity, that you're like in some Buddha way. You come back, you don't really remember who you are, but you're somehow still advanced. You have advanced knowledge at birth or advanced something, character, karma, and that somehow you will have some better fate because of, and that you'll somehow be evolving somehow as a spirit. I mean, all of that is shit, and you should just say it clearly. It's all shit, and only a moron would believe it. And, a nearly illiterate moron. Because, frankly, the arguments have been made for hundreds of years how this doesn't have anything to do with the truth. And especially in the modern age with all of the physics and chemistry and biology that has, geology that has been acquired, all of that knowledge points to, no, you're just bugs that can sing and dance. You have a little bit of extra gray matter, and that means you can do this. You can do a video doing this. So fucking what? That the advancement, our differentiation in basic function from the bug to the human isn't that advanced. So you could just buy some guppies. Get a fish tank and some guppies and just watch the guppies. The guppies are doing what you do. They go fishing around looking for things to eat, and they peck at this and they play with that, and then they fuck the bitches. And she has babies, and then they are... half of them die, and they're barely surviving, and then they eat some of their own young, and it's all just... we're bugs! You fucking idiots. Alright, gotta pause again. So I wrote, just drink a liter of delusion. he's basically just saying, get drunk. He's not saying anything useful. He's not arguing for anything meaningful. His brother was a drunk. What are you saying that for? Why are you telling people to get drunk on religion or drunk on some notion that their family is important, more important than other people's families, and their kids are more important than other people's kids. I mean, these are such ignorant, stupid ideas. Why would you be defending any of that? It's just so gross. I mean, you're just such a fucking truth molester. All right, so I missed a sentence in here, I think. Let's see. All the facts needed to understand what the action should be. Something like that. So, yeah, we have all these facts. We have enough information to really understand how we function, draw the maze, the model. Oh, we need these things, these personal little comforts, or we can't play the piano. You know, if our fingers are broken, or, you know, we have a headache, or, you know, so we need to be physically functional and functioning well to be able to do things well. But the fact is, we have all these facts, and the picture isn't that hard to draw about, well, this is what the universe does. It has this elemental forces in it, and has this matter in it, and they're interacting in this really elemental, simple way with electrons and protons, and create little dipoles, and little things are moving around. It's all momentum, really, and it's not that complicated. And yes, it added up. You know, the complicated part is the insane number of permutations. They threw the dice a million times, and then the dice actually started landing by stacking on top of each other, and they stacked on top of each other all with a number two showing, or, you know, lots of preposterously unlikely permutations of consequences, you know, that led to this biological function of a reproducing piece of chemistry, a little punk of goop that could make an, you know, that accidentally, you know, farts a copy of itself, the seeds of a copy, let's call it. You're off to this evolution races, and you're just making these silly machines that lay eggs and die, legs and die, legs die, legs die, legs die, legs die. And we're just part of that. And we have this more advanced tool set that allows us to see more, you know, and so we can see the maze. We can see the pinball machine. We can watch, you know, ourselves being bounced all over the place by it. But we can see it and understand it. It's not beyond our comprehension. All right, so live a fake life. Have a fake. Oh shit! All right, I'll pause again. I believe the word is dishonest. Yeah, I'll go with that anyway. A fake / dishonest life. So, I mean, isn't that the only part of dignity we have here? You know, it's this sad truth, doing this singing and dancing thing. Hold on a second. All right, so it comes to mind that, you know, just for understanding context, I mean, this is a tiny problem. You know, the fact that intelligent people go wrong. The big problem is the ignorance of the masses, okay? The silly, their inability to get out of the trap. So it's not really, the problem isn't moronic intelligent people trying to shove people into traps of religion and bullshit and nonsense and lies. You know, the real problem is people already in that trap and getting them out of it. But this is more personal for me. I'm just arguing that this really bugs me when intelligent people are evil, because they really shouldn't be. There shouldn't be any possibility of being a menace and being intelligent. And it's so much more of a crime, right? So it's just when you're smart enough to read the law and understand why there's a law, like why you can't marry a 10-year-old, it makes you even more evil when you marry the 10-year-old than if you didn't know there was a law, okay? And you didn't understand that, you know, 10-year-olds aren't competent and they really can't make decisions for their future and all this other crap. And, you know, your gluttonous, self-interested motivations shouldn't be controlling their destiny. So, yes, you can make all these logical arguments to understand why it's wrong. It's not like saying you shouldn't be attracted or you shouldn't fall in love. It's saying you shouldn't act on, okay, your impulses in certain circumstances because it's just intrinsically evil. And he has knowledge and he knows that. And he's telling people, jump in the fucking goddamn idiot juice. Drink the poison. Oh, God. So it just makes him such an evil character. All right, anyway. So I said here, must have peace of body to have peace of mind. So look, this whole conversation, Buddha's conversation, if all Buddha's talking about is, oh, I have some angst because, oh, I'm scared. Yeah, well, I have some angst and I'm scared and I don't like my physiological reactions and I don't like that things make me nauseous and that this makes me this and this makes me, I don't like any of that shit and it's all really nasty. But that's not what we're fucking talking about. We're talking about fucking goddamn brain tumors and shit. So what the fuck are you talking about? This trivial, by comparison. I don't want to trivialize it. Obviously, lots of people in mental hospitals that don't have any systemic tumor. And their own psychology is feeding on itself and torturing them. And again, like I said, I've had my fill of it. I mean, a whole lifetime of disquieted, uncomfortable tension and angst and tedium and twisting and it's been quite unpleasant. Okay, but that's not what we're talking about, for fuck's sake. It's only one little part of the ocean of ways that your brain can hurt you. Okay, the psychological part is only one little piece of the horror. All right. And so if that's all Buddha's fixing, then fuck Buddha in the ass again. I mean, what's the fucking use of this philosophy if all it's about is, well, you can pretend earthquakes don't happen and then you'll feel fine and everything will be great. And then when the earthquake happens, it'll be a big surprise. That'll be a little irritating. But the panic will all be the same and the crushing and all the rest of it's going to be the same because you can't do anything about earthquake. Well, wait a minute. You can. That's right. You can do things so your buildings don't fall down. You can prepare for it. Oh, you can build your house above the floodplain. You don't have to build your house on a sandbar in the ocean. Oh, you could actually put it on land. Oh, yeah, you can do intelligent things. You can make death a lot less scary if we gave people a really complete right to die gracefully. A complete free access to the best of medical technology in gracefully transitioning yourself from alive to dead. Yes, we could fix a lot of angst about being a dead person if we took the fucking dying out of it. Oh. I mean, I have a lot less concern about being dead if I don't have to die, right? If I make the dying part like cupcake, then, yeah, well, yeah, the being dead part, right? Yeah, that doesn't bother me much. Not much. I would just like, I haven't finished a lot of stuff. So I have a lot of buns in the oven that, I just don't, want to burn. And I'm not done yet. That's my only angst about dying is just, I haven't finished my artistic project. And, I hate the half-finished painting to be all there is. All right. Fear, anxiety, dread, dissidence, something, avoid, something. Anyway, the point is all of that is bad, but that's really not the really bad part. The really bad part is the, unceasing harsh pain, blood coming out of your eyes, that kind of shit. Seasick and vertigo. Yeah, so I made that point earlier that these aren't things you're going to fix with some stupid, oh, I believe in God and that'll make so I don't get sick anymore when I go on the ocean. Not going to happen. Okay? It ain't going to save you. All right, brave something, psychological responses. Break, conditioned, physiological responses. Yeah, so it's hard to break conditioned physiological reactions. Once your brain establishes them, hard to get out of them. Now, I've been working on my vertigo. You know, it's just a weird example, right? Because I was, you know, as a kid, I could get into a 100-foot-tall tree and it's blowing in the wind and I'm fine, no problem. And it's, you know, and so then I did some roofing work, I did different kinds of work where, you know, I was, you know, walking around in high places. The Grand Canyon, when we went to the Grand Canyon as a kid, I walked on the rail. Okay, where that famous hotel is, there's a rail where you can look down the canyon, and I walked on the rail. Okay, the fence, the metal fence. That's how comfortable I had great balance, great blah, blah, blah. Anyway, and then, you know, something happened like 20 years ago. Well, I think, yeah, it was before my stroke. And all of a sudden, no, fuck this. I get 10 feet high on a ladder and I don't like it. I don't want to be up there. You know, the whole clinging, like, you know, and the whole woozy, you're either going to barf or you're going to faint feeling. Just really unpleasant. And so the last 10 years I've been working on it. And I'm getting better a little bit at a time. But it's really, you know, it's very incremental and it's very difficult. And no, you can't just wish it away. You have to somehow create mechanisms that somehow break your brain's logic that now says, logically, we've already had enough experience where you came close enough to falling off a roof or doing something where we know you shouldn't do it. And you're still doing it, you asshole. So your brain is kind of pissed off at you because you're basically, your brain has said, look, we figured out this isn't in your best interest. Don't do it. And you're too stupid to listen, to pay attention to our whip. Something like that anyway. Anyway, so enough of a video. So I don't, you know, it's hard to put things. Look, we're using the same languages. You know, we talk, and you know that's where it gets all. You know, the modern mystic talks about the I and the ego, and there's no me, and there's no this, and you know, and it's just like, well, we're not really. What do you mean? There's no. Of course, there's eyes. There's individual brains. It'd be idiotic not to say there's not individual brains. But of course, the individual brains are in the same universe. Okay, and they're radioactively affecting each other and doing all this stuff. So yes, they're not exactly independent, but they're not the same thing either. Okay, and they're not, certainly not one thing. Okay, we're not having one thought and one feeling and one something else. No, there's a whole bunch of people feeling and a whole bunch of animals feeling and a whole bunch of organisms feeling, and it would just be idiotic to say it's one thing. It's not one thing. It's a bunch of events, and you can make a billion of them, or you can make none of them. And that's the key power we have. That's the key that intelligence brings, is that we can just hit the off switch. But we're not going to do that if people keep living in delusionary, fake, phony, bullshit universes. You have to live in the one that recognizes that we're just bugs that can sing and dance. And yes, we have a few little brain functions. We can add numbers and subtract them and multiply them. So fucking what? Anyway. So we're using the same words. I mean, I just, you know, back in, you know, 10 years ago, whatever, when we were talking to each other, you know, me brain, that's a simple way to say it. I mean, my brain says things. My brain does this stuff. All right. And why does it do it? Well, because it's programmed to do it. Just like a calculator's programmed to take in your little button pushes and it produces a thing on the screen. And that's all there is. There isn't anything more. But it doesn't make us being alive a non-fact. It doesn't make our conscious experience a non-reality. The fact that it's a mechanical process, so what? All right. That it's a process. Consciousness is not a thing. It's an event. Okay. It's not an object. It's an event. It's running. Okay. It's not tree, brick, sky. It's running. It's a process. It's a verb. Conscious. All right. So anyway, let's see. That should be enough of a video. Yeah, it's just, like I said, anyway, it's just one of my many internet disappointments. And, you know, there's so many bizarre stories of the failure of human beings and, you know, fake Sagan becoming a Christian. I mean, different things. You're just like, oh, that's too silly. It's just too fucking silly. You're saying it couldn't happen. Too nonsense. It just doesn't make any sense. And, but in the case of the modern mystic, frankly, why did he call himself the modern mystic, right? It's because, yeah, it was always there. He just never said it, okay? But he's a defender of the woo. And it's just toxic to reasonable function. Just keep the Indians drunk, or keep the slaves drunk. That's what he's always doing. He's just basically saying, you know, give them a little bit of, give them sleeping pills. You know, give them, just get them through so they can serve his god, of his delusion, that it all isn't an insidious waste. All right. So anyway, till the next time, and such. Forth and whatnot. Well, there's enough. It's enough. See, I said, okay, I think it's enough. I'm not doing anything, right? So when I said, I think it's enough, I'm waiting for my brain to say, yes, that's enough. And that's it. I didn't do it. Brain did it. And I can't even call it, I mean, it is my brain. I mean, it isn't top of my head inside here, but some of it I don't want any responsibility for. It it's not, you know, it's not entirely my fault. I didn't make the damn thing. All right, anyway, till the next time, such.